The following broadcast is brought to you by the friends and partners of Revival Ministries International.
Man, I'm so thankful for his presence. Thankful to just serve God for such a time as this. God is good. Why don't you grab the neighbor's hand and let's pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for your word today, Lord. We thank you, Father, for your anointing. We thank you for your presence. It's by your anointing that breaks every chain of bondage. Lord, I thank you that your word never returns void. Father, I thank you that we're not going to leave the same way we came today. In Jesus' name, I give you all the glory. I give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Man, I've been so blessed this morning from the start of the service to the worship to the giving to testimonies. God is a good God, and I've been reflecting lately and just thinking about in 2008 is when I came in contact with the ministry. And I got saved when I was eight years old, and when I got saved, I knew it was a supernatural calling for what the Lord had me to do, and I didn't know how in the world I was even going to begin to step into that, and one day I was going along, and looking back at it, it was the Lord. He just put in my spirit that God was going to send someone in my life, going to send a ministry in my life to help me fulfill that calling. I went on to university, and I was still thinking about that calling, and one day in my dorm room in Chicago, Illinois, my senior year of college, as I was making my own plans and, you know, graduate school, you know, what will I do? I remember the presence of God filled the room, and I dropped down to my knees, and the Lord spoke in my spirit, "What are you going to do about the calling that I put on your life?" And it arrested me right there. At 20, I was 21 at the time. And so I began to fill out seminary forms to various schools to see how to fulfill the call of God on my life. And I'll never forget at 22 years old, the church that I was hosting, Pastor Rodney and Pastor Eric, Pastor Jennifer, the Great Awakening team came to our local church. At that time in my life, I'd never won one soul to the Lord, didn't know how to do that. And I walked in the doors and the Great Awakening Tour, and right when I laid eyes on Pastor Rodney, it's like there's no distance in the realm of the spirit. So it went back to when I was a child, and I remembered that in my spirit, that the Lord put in my spirit, that someone was going to help me, a ministry that was going to help me. When I laid eyes on the man, I knew exactly that that was the man. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What a faithful God we serve. Hallelujah. And really what it was just the Holy Spirit, the anointing, the power. And I was captivated by the message of another great awakening that God moved in our country once before, that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And God's going to move one last time. And I felt in my spirit that something inside of me, that I was supposed to be a part of that last move of God, that last move of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Man, I feel good. And so I knew I had to come to RBI, amen. And we moved down here in 2011. And at that time, the Great Awakening was going on every day. This Christian television network, people were downloading the gospel, soul winning script, winning souls, the soul count, over 28 million decisions for Jesus Christ now. And I just know my life was completely turned upside down. It's the best decision of my life to come down and join up with this move of God, this great awakening. I believe that we are on the brink, we are on the cusps of the greatest move of the Spirit of God that the world has ever seen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Acts 1:8. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. I'm thankful for our pastors, Pastors Rodney and Adonica, blazing the trail. I always think about $300, three children, all the way from South Africa to here to bless our nation, to bless our lives, to bless this city, our nation, and the nations of the world. So I'm forever grateful. Acts 1:8, the Bible says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be a witness to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." I'm going to read that in the Passion Translation. I like how it reads. "But I promise you this, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and you will be seized with power. And you will be my messengers to Jerusalem, throughout Judea, the distant provinces, even to the remotest places of the earth." I remember that power that I was just talking about being linked up to this ministry. I wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit. But one day I was reading a Brother Hagin book, and he was talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, how you get saved by faith, you're filled with the Holy Spirit by faith, you're healed by faith. And that just made sense to me. I don't even know what the book was. I put the book down on the bed there, and I lifted my hands. I said, "Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking other tongues." And an unseen hand took over my mouth, and it was like water began to flood right out of me. Hallelujah. Glory be. And that was that power that I was lacking when I was a little boy, because I knew this was, you're casting out demons, you're getting people saved. I need power. You can't go into the ministry without power. And that Acts 1:8, I love that scripture. It's so real to me. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you. And so my wife and I, we went to Bible school, and man, are you incredible. It's amazing how this ministry is not built around a man, but it's built around the Holy Ghost. It's built around, hallelujah. You hear those testimonies. You don't have to have a big name to go and do a crusade. Hallelujah. You just need this power. You just need this Acts 1:8 power to be endued. Hallelujah. With the power of God, with the word of God. Hallelujah. And you shall see signs, wonders, and miracles, and the lost shall come in. Glory be to God. So, and are you? I love the instructors, the anointing. And I'm like, man, this is what I feel called to do, this great awakening. And it's amazing when you submit yourself to this ministry, you submit to the Holy Spirit, what happens to you? Man, I feel like I energized. I feel like God has graced us for such a time to be a blessing to our generation. The Bible says David served his generation. And you think about history, you think about even when you read the word of God, I get encouraged because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he did it back then, he's going to do it again in a greater, in a more profound way. Hallelujah. So we are on the cusp of the greatest move of God, the greatest technologies to be released, the greatest, hallelujah, hour to be alive. Is right now. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Man, I feel it. Thank you, Jesus. I remember after a year of Bible school, I went up to Washington, D.C., and we were at our former church, and I was sitting in the meeting. It was a big meeting. And I was probably four or five rows back, and the preacher said, at that time, they were doing something like Jubilee. They were doing something for their building project. And they said, "Tonight, I want Brother Jason to receive the offering." I turned back, me? That's what I'm looking at in the inside. So I stand up. I'm like right here. I'm like, oh, my God. So I turned back like that. I slouch down, and you can't say no, right? It's a big meeting, so I stand up. I'm walking slowly, praying in other tongues in the inside. Then he said, not just you, I want your wife to come up with you. And I'm like, oh God, now we got a flow. Man, it was the slowest walk to that podium. But I tell you, as I was praying, hallelujah, see, we get learned how to flow here, hallelujah, how to follow the river, how to follow the move of the Spirit, hallelujah. And I said, God, what do you want me to say? Hallelujah. I found the scripture in my spirit. I said, if you have your Bibles, turn to this scripture, hallelujah. My wife and I were flowing back and forth. The power of God hit that place. People were running around, hallelujah. God answered, hallelujah. The anointing breaks the yoke of bondage. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The anointing. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. And it was during that same trip, one of my good friends from Jamaica, he went home to be with the Lord, and me and my friend prayed to raise him from the dead. Unfortunately, he didn't come back. And he had a major call of God on his life. And I remember going home from the homegoing. Pastor Eric called and he said, how would you like to be the assistant crusade director? I was like, what? Absolutely. He's like, we've got crusades stacked up like planes on a runway. I'm like, what does that even mean? I know exactly what it means now. I got down here. Man, Pastor Rodney was going to Jacksonville and Fort Myers and just hitting, and I got trained up. I was being with Pastor Eric and Pastor Jennifer in the crusade department, seeing all these soul winners raised up, the harvest, people coming in, winning souls, all the churches that have been trained up. And it's just been one of the greatest blessings of your life. Now, I was just thinking about this. This ministry is shaking our city, our state, United States, the nations of the world. And it's a great honor to be a part of that. Acts chapter 4, verse 23. Pastor Ronnie was praying for boldness this morning, and that's what hit my spirit as well. Now, in the previous chapters, a lame man was healed. Great miracles are breaking forth. Of course, the day of Pentecost, souls are being won. Verse 23, in being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. And by the mouth of your servant David had said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness that they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal and the signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. Hallelujah. That's what Pastor was just transitioning there with, that boldness. And my wife was talking about boldness last night. This morning. I was praying for boldness yesterday. When you look into what that word boldness means, They were outspoken. They were unreserved, cheerful courage. It was the opposite of cowardice, timidity or fear, the opposite of that. This word denotes a divine enablement that comes to the ordinary exhibiting spiritual power and authority. The word is not a human boldness, but a result of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Now, I just told you what my testimony is. When I got filled with the Holy Spirit, it's not a human boldness. You see some guys, they're just bold in the natural. That's not what this is. Hallelujah. When the boldness of God comes upon you, hallelujah, suddenly there's a supernatural grace that comes upon your life. Hallelujah. My wife and I, we have the privilege to interview the students that come in. And I tell her sometimes, I said, this is more for me than it is for them. Because I hear the testimonies of people that gave up everything and the things that they had to go through just to even come to this school. The faith is great. But I see some students, they barely look in you in their eyes in the entrance interview. But now they're out preaching the word of God with boldness, with signs, wonders, and miracles following the preaching of the word. Hallelujah. It's because of that Acts 1:8 power that comes upon you, that dunamis power that comes upon you to be a witness. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. I see New England being shaken by the power of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. All right, verse 32. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they all had things in common. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Hallelujah. Now that word power is delegated authority, great strength, dunamis power, meaning energy, might, great force. The powers of the world to come at work upon the earth and divine power overcoming all resistance. See, the enemy, I believe, in this hour is scared. The enemy's scared because he sees he outruled the Holy Ghost. He outruled the power of God. He outruled you. Maybe he didn't think you would make it. Hallelujah. Maybe he didn't think you would answer the call, but he's wrong. Hallelujah. He has not ruled out. Glory be to God. See, the healing school testimonies, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The enemy wants to take them out. Hallelujah. He outruled the power of God. He outruled that he's Jehovah Rapha. He's the God that healeth thee. See, the devil wants us to be timid, to not speak out, to draw back, to think about what others would think. But we're called to have that Holy Ghost boldness, that Holy Ghost reliance on the word, the Holy Ghost reliance on the anointing. Hallelujah. We're just his servant. Hallelujah. We only do what we feel to do, what he says to do. We're submitted under him. And we see here at our church, the river in RMI, we're hitting every front with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I love doing the tours of the property because as you do the tour, usually what happens when I do it, like one guy broke down and said, my God, this place, this ministry meets the total man. And I said, that's exactly right. Amen. You see how we're hitting our city, Tampa, how we're hitting Florida, how we're hitting United States, how we're hitting the nations of the world. And this place is training and raising up leaders in all spheres of society to bring about, to usher in another great spiritual awakening. So our city is being impacted by the power of God. What's amazing is I had the opportunity to go with Pastor Rodney. I think Pastor Tony was with us, Pastor Eric. And we met with the sheriff. Now, Tampa's a beautiful place. I'm blessed to raise my family here. The weather's amazing. Everything's great about Tampa. This is a blessed place. But a lot of people are thinking like that. They're moving here because it's just awesome, right? Plus the river's here. Amen. Hallelujah. But the sheriff said a phenomenon is happening. You would think a city that's population is going up, that's increasing. How can the crime rate decrease? Hallelujah. I said, how can it decrease? Hallelujah. It's by the power of God. We're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. See, you can't knock on every door, do the outreaches like that, mobilize all these students, all the river members to go out and preach the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. It's not about one man, hallelujah, but it's about an army that's being raised up, full of the power, full of the anointing, full of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. So this is not our statistics. The crime is going down in Tampa. Glory to God, it's going to keep decreasing. Hallelujah. There's an acceleration happening. Pastor Allen and Pastor Jordan and I just actually met with a person that works in the school district here in Hillsborough County. Now, according to according to others, more children, more youth are being saved in this county than any other county in America. I tell you, God is raising up. Hallelujah. God is raising up strategic people in places, high places. I mean, the meeting we had was mind-blowing. She said, shut the door. She said, yes, ma'am. Pulled out a map. This is what we need to put spirit-filled Christians in places. Hallelujah. People to make a difference. We need this person out of this place. We began to pray, hallelujah, strategize, hallelujah, to take over. And when you see the great awakenings, and I'll get to this in a little bit, but one of the things is that it hit the youth and then it hit the adults. Hallelujah. There's an acceleration just in this church. My son is in River Bears. My daughter is in River Kids, and the level of understanding of the word, the anointing is mind-blowing. That my kids are surpassed me. No, seriously. Let's say like 18, 19, they know more about the move of the Spirit, the anointing, giving, than I did at 18 or 19. Just at our dinner table, my wife made dinner last night, which is a good thing. Thank you, babe. And my kids were talking about, my son was talking about, the question was, can man live forever? And my wife began to talk, and my son talked about the fall of man and Adam and Eve and the garden. I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, is this really happening? Then we talked about giving and tithes and offerings. My daughter says, okay, when we sow our seed, where does that money actually go? And my wife said, well, it goes into the work of God so that we can continue on preaching the word. My son took his golf club, which he's becoming a great golfer. Reagan gave him a golf ball. He's hitting the thing in the living room, going under the couch and everything. But I was reading last night, and my wife was playing with him. He took the golf club and he said, he was throwing it on the ground. He says, when this hits the ground, it's gonna turn into a snake. After about the third or fourth time him doing it, I'm like, John, what are you doing? It's gonna turn into a snake. Hallelujah, these kids are on fire for God, hallelujah. I see schoolhouses being shaken, hallelujah. I was... I was in my... my kids have a little play area, the living room, and I was looking for my daughter's schoolwork, and I looked at it, and she wrote, "I have a dream that everyone will know Jesus." And I'm like, whoa. So I'm like, "Babe, did you tell her to write that?" She said, "No, I didn't." So it's all these types of things. One of the things, one more. My daughter, this is what really got me. You know how on YouTube, so I have a custom of playing YouTube and I'm doing work, but I'm praying and, you know, praying and meditating. And I had the song on, you know, and it plays to the next song. Well, sometimes you don't particularly want the next thing that they play. So I had this one song. The music sounds good. It's really good. My daughter rose up one day after she heard it a few times, and she said, "Mommy and Daddy." We said, "Yes." She challenged the doctrine of the song. No, it's good music. It has the acoustic, sounds good. She challenged the doctrine, which is really important. Because she said, "Daddy, this song is implying that I'm not as on fire as I am today as I once was." Hallelujah. And so a couple days later, you know, I got the YouTube playing. It goes to the next song. That song comes on, and I was just too lazy to hit the stop button. So I think I was shaving or something like that. She walks in. She says, "Daddy, what did I tell you about that song? Cut it off." I said, "Yes, ma'am." Hallelujah. These kids are on fire for God. Glory be to God. It better be the anointing to say that to me. Hallelujah. So the schoolhouse is being shaken. Isn't it awesome with the fire week? Hallelujah. Just 1 year, over 1,000 kids came through this place. Hallelujah. What's going to happen when everyone, hallelujah, from the north, south, east, and west come here? Hallelujah. Get filled up with the anointing of God. Get filled up with the word of God. Go into the schoolhouse and shake it by the power of God. Oh, my gosh. You can't stop the kids. Oh, hallelujah. I'm having fun this morning. Glory be to God. Isn't it awesome that prayer was officially declared back in schools? It's amazing to see what's happening with Kingdom Business Fellowship mobilizing businesses, 300 multimillionaires raised up out of this church. Hallelujah. The funding, the end time harvest. Recently, I've been meeting with local government leaders. And it'll shock you. They might not be the same denomination or what have you, but they're realizing, they're hearing a call that God is calling them to make a difference. And they realize what's happening here locally. They want to do something about it. And they're seriously praying about it to make a difference. So I see the governmental realm here in Tampa being completely shaken. Then I think about our state. I believe that God has strategically placed this church's ministry in Florida. You see, even in the political realm, the attack that is happening to Florida. But I believe we're the Sunshine State for a reason. I believe that an awakening, a revival can spark right here in Tampa and go up and hit the Carolinas and Georgia, in Virginia and Washington, D.C., hallelujah, and spread west, hallelujah, hit Chicago, hallelujah, Iowa, hallelujah, California, and America could be shaken one last time. We've been going up, the River School of Government, we've been going up to Tallahassee, and we're going up to support a bill that requires a minor to get parental consent before an abortion. That's it. That's it. And it's passed on in a few committee meetings, but you can see the fight. I told Pastor Rodney, it's literally like good and evil wrestling in the room. The last committee hearing, that boldness I talked about, I was praying and I was short of Bokota under my breath there. And the committee chairman, this one guy on the board, pulled some obscure rule out of nowhere. And the chairman said, only a lawyer would do something like that. And he said, but we're going to get this vote today, because they tried to filibuster the vote. And they only had 2 votes, so they knew they were going to lose. The chairman, I felt the chairman, a spirit of boldness hit that man. And God used him profoundly. It passed on to the next stage. But we're just seeing profound testimonies there at our state capitol. I remember one time, this is a couple years ago, they were talking about prayer in schools. This one lady that God's using in the legislature, she's actually a minister, but she's an elected official too. And they were debating prayer in schools. And I'm in the committee room, and then there was a busload of students from Miami. When I looked at the students, I said, oh, man. I thought some liberal organization, you know, picked them up or what have you. But the youth went up to testify, and this girl said, I like prayer in schools. I like praying. She says, when I don't pray, she says, it's like something takes over my body, anger and rage and confusion. But when I pray, those spirits leave me. And yes, it's amazing. So I see God using the youth, even in the governmental realm, to bring about a change. And I believe the Sunshine State, you think about all the churches, think about Claremont, Pastor Caleb and Pastor Kirsten, and all the churches that are being planted here in Florida, the churches that are being trained up to win souls for the gospel. It's amazing. So I believe Florida is going to shake. Hallelujah. It has to. It's shaking. Glory to God. See, the enemy wants to use fear to stop you. The wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. Hallelujah. That boldness. Pastor just prayed for boldness. Hallelujah. The boldness of God come upon us greater, in a greater measure in 2020. Hallelujah. Just focus on eternity. Hallelujah. What's the worst that can happen? Hallelujah. The boldness of God come upon us like never before. Our nation is being impacted by the gospel of Jesus Christ big time, in a major way. Last night, a friend sent me a video. I think one of my greatest desires is to raise my family up in the house of God. I remember one time, Pastor Allen, we were in Studio B. You remember that? The glory of God was coming down, and your daughter, my daughter, and Pastor Ben's daughter. And you said, this is just priceless. I'll never forget that. The greatest thing is to be in the house of God. Hallelujah. To be raised up in the things of God, where you don't have to know the world. Hallelujah. You can know the anointing and the presence of God and God's provision. Hallelujah. His protection and the call of God. Hallelujah. That's my greatest joy. A friend of mine, as I was studying last night, sent me a video message, and it was my daughter at the DAR Constitution Hall. This must have been in 2014, and the band was practicing, and she's worshiping God right there, dancing and praising God. And that's just my greatest desire. We had the privilege to go to DAR Constitution Hall, Washington, D.C., with Pastors Rodney and Adonica, Pastor Eric and the team, from 2014 when Pastor Rodney issued the restraining order. I was there in the building 500 yards from the White House. How many of you know that restraining order is still in effect? I said it's still in effect. Man, he couldn't preach any harder. I mean, the power of God was evident. I was blown away. I mean, who rents DAR Constitution? Like, we're a part of the river. Actually, slow down and think about it for a second. Just be like, DAR Constitution, who does that? A church on fire, amen? Someone that hears the call. The total from these 6 years of the meetings, 58,233 decisions for Jesus Christ. We flooded the two books, The Reality of Life After Death, Seeing Jesus as He Really Is. Everywhere you went, we went in the House and the Congress praying for people. I mean, epic testimonies. Things we can't even release because these members, we wanna hold their confidentiality. They're just people. But I'm talking filled with the Spirit, saying a tranquility came upon me. Peace came upon me. I was going through this, but that was broken. I'm talking about the demonstration of the Spirit of God. In 2015, I was thinking about it. There was 100 people in the courtroom. I was one of 100. There were 9 landmark cases in the Supreme Court that summer. It wasn't just Obergefell versus Hodges, but it was the Obama care, it was gerrymandering, it was capital punishment, it was all these things. And I remember I was in Obergefell versus Hodges. I walked out of the Supreme Court, and when you walk out, to your right is the Methodist Church, and there was a parade, and I saw the most horrendous. I was horrified. And I called Pastor Rodney. Pastor Eric was on the phone, and I thought about that, and I had to really pray. And I was just like, man, it looked bleak, you know. But the Lord did a miracle in our nation. The Lord did a miracle in our nation. If you think about it, all the pastors that I hear testimonies all the time, pastors that weren't doing altar calls, they're doing altar calls now because of the meetings there in D.C. Their churches are growing. Pastors that were going to quit the ministry, they're not quitting anymore. New churches that have springed up because of this. And in 2015, as the Supreme Court issued an opinion that God already defined, I was just thinking about, like, man, how did, you know, I was just kind of bummed out about it. But I began to meditate on, as darkness abounds, the grace of God abounds even more. Hallelujah. And things began to happen in 2016. I know we were praying all night prayers. How many of you know that something happens when you pray? I said something happens when you pray. Hallelujah. I was really moved to pray. When Pastor Rodney announced the all-night prayer, I'm glad he did because, I mean, I may fall asleep at home, you know? Amen. But the all-night prayers, the spiritual stamina. If you look at your list from all last year, I bet you things have been crossed off that you might even forgot about. Things in the spirit realm, things that were gonna happen to our nation. Again, that restraining order held back because of our prayers. And now look at what's happening. What's happening? And he's going back. Pastor Rodney's going back for 50 nights, Jubilee, Pentecost. And I believe God has saved the best for last. I believe that this is going to be a mighty, mighty harvest. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. I believe it's going to be incredible. Recently, actually, Pastor Mark, Pastor Martha, J.C., Chris Ann, my wife, and I, we were in the White House. First of all, I never thought in a million years I would be in the White House. But we were there on Pastor Rodney's behalf, and we attended a briefing. And I tell you what, you can say what you want to, but the administration, all the people, the lady that was organizing it said, I was praying for a word of God for this meeting. I was waiting on the Lord for this meeting. I'm like, whoa. They were talking about the power of God. They were talking about the anointing. They were talking about that they actually treasure our prayers for them, that they can feel our prayers. I'm like, wow. One guy from Louisiana felt the call of God to go and help President Trump and shut down his business and moved up. I mean, radical, hearing the voice of God, hearing like this is a calling. And I can see that God has given us a reprieve. God has given us a stay of execution. Think about this. Our president was the first one to attend the March for Life. See, the enemy is scared because we have power. When we pray, things happen. Mountains are moved. Things happen. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Psalm 34:14-17. Keep turning your back on every sin and make peace your life motto. Practice being at peace with everyone. The Lord sees all we do. He watches over his friends day and night. His godly ones receive the answers they seek whenever they cry out to him. But the Lord has made up his mind to oppose evildoers and wipe out even the memory of them from the face of the earth. Yet when the holy lovers of God cry out to him with all their hearts, the Lord will hear them and come and rescue them from all their troubles. See, we keep praying that as the enemy digs a ditch, let him fall in it himself. We speak confusion in the camp of the enemy. Hallelujah. We rip the wheels off of Pharaoh's chariot. And we're seeing that happen. Souls are being won and impacted all over the world. I was so blessed by the man from Australia. This is his home church. He came, the power of God just wrecked him all the way from Australia, the nations that are being impacted. Since Ministers Conference of last year, I really had to pinch myself because all the things that God is opening up, the things, the opportunities that God is opening up. I got the opportunity to go to the Middle East with Pastor Rodney just on humanitarian efforts, on some of the things he's working on, and just to see the impact. He got an award for a friend of Africa. God blessed him from leaving Africa as a missionary, and he's made great impact in Africa. Hallelujah. To see the different things, the power of God. People are hungry, man. People are hungry. And the word says that if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you shall be filled. I mean, I had the opportunity to see the power of God move in the Middle East. How about, now this blew my mind. This still blows my mind. The Cape Town, the Lord spoke to Pastor Rodney to go and break a drought. Stand in the shadow of a mountain and break a drought. What if he didn't obey? But look, as he did, the rains came. Hallelujah. The rains came. He was preaching in a poncho. Hallelujah. Amazing. Things are happening. You see it on the 300 city tour. You saw the map, the different places, how we're all a part of that, how we're being impacted. It's coming into our account as well as we sow, as we pray, as we're part of this ministry. Zechariah 4:6. So he answered and said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. You see all the missionaries that are going out from this place for RU, all the ones that went to Overland Missions and the people that are coming here. I mean, I think about myself. I've evolved so much and still have so much to go. But you come here, you stumble in these doors like, man, what am I even doing here? The vision is so big. Then the word comes into your spirit. And you begin to say, you know what? God can use me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And that word grows, the camp meetings, the ministers' conferences, hands laid on you, hallelujah, hearing the word of God, hallelujah. You begin to think, I'm more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus, hallelujah. And you begin, that word comes in you, hallelujah. Maybe you're here today and you're saying, what in the world am I doing here? Stick it out in the name of Jesus Christ. God is going to raise you up. So many testimonies looking through the crowd, how God chose you to be a part. Do not look in the natural. Receive divine sight. See through the eyes of the scripture. Receive divine hearing. Do not listen to the media or critics, but what is the word of the Lord? See, there's constantly things coming at us. And you got to listen. What is heaven saying? What is the word saying about this? Because the devil wants to get you distracted. He wants to get your eyes focused somewhere else. Hallelujah. Where your focus goes, the power flows. But as you flow, hallelujah, as you focus on the word, hallelujah, as you pray in other tongues, as you meditate on the word of God, hallelujah, your success will be great. Don't look at the media. Hallelujah. You know what I do with the media now? I look at it and I don't trust it, but I trust my spirit. God, what do you say about that? And the Holy Ghost will speak through you. Well, what's really happening? Hallelujah. Let me encourage you with this. God is moving around the earth. Again, in our city, our state, our nation. I love the Great Awakenings. We were having lunch, Pastor Allen, and during the camp meeting. I feel like every time we're talking about the awakenings and revival history, but we were talking about the Great Awakening, and it just sparked some reading that I did. See, America had a first Great Awakening. This awakening revived interest in education, science, and literature. There was a man by the name of Jonathan Edwards, 1703-1758. Edwards was a child prodigy who entered Yale College at 13 and graduated the top of his class at 17. Now remember, the preaching of the gospel changes the moral atmosphere. What we do in this building impacts out there. I said what we do in this building impacts out there. So when Edwards began preaching in Northampton, Massachusetts in 1734, the moral conditions were at an extreme low, as was prevalent throughout most of the American colonies. Under his preaching that stressed the importance of an immediate personal spiritual rebirth, a revival began in his church among the youth, and then it spread to the adults. Edwards wrote this: in the spring and summer following anew, 1735, the town seemed to be so full of the presence of God. It never was so full of love nor of joy, and yet so full of distress as it was then. In 2 years, 300 converts were added to the church, and the news of the revival spread throughout New England. Now you may say, Pastor Jason, that's New England. If he did it back then, I said, if he did it back then, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. I like how it says love and joy filled the streets. The joy of the Lord was breaking out here. I began to look at Whitfield, George Whitfield. Man, he's one of my favorites. God anointed his voice box, booming. The crowds were like anything that you can imagine. 25,000 people coming to a field. Ben Franklin used to count the number of people that were there. They were friends. Whitfield was a household name. He had an orphanage in North Carolina. He did a preaching tour up the Carolinas. He's perhaps responsible for literally forging one nation under God by his preaching. Now, Pastor Rodney has said it over and over again. He sees the day of the open field where people are going to come from the north, the south, the east, and the west. The meetings won't even end. Hallelujah. There'll be people just coming. Hallelujah. Hearing the preaching of the word, the worship. Hallelujah. The anointing. Hallelujah. Deliverances. Hallelujah. People set free by the power of God. Hallelujah. Here's the awesome thing about it. You don't have to be a famous preacher, because I believe God is going to raise up people, hallelujah, out of obscurity, hallelujah. People that have a heart for God, hallelujah, that want to be used by God. What do you think the motto is that we have here? Hallelujah. Just in a few hours. And I've been a part of some outreaches. It looked like no one was going to come. Some of mine that I conducted, I said, oh, Lord. And then out of nowhere, it's like a minute to midnight, right? People start coming in, hallelujah. And God moves so powerfully. Amazing. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Means that he doesn't change. It means that if you read something in history, know that he's going to do it again, and even in a greater measure. We think about the revival of Azusa Street, the Jesus movement. Don't think that California is lost. See, the enemy wants us to think that, oh, California is just done. You see how Evangelist Jonathan went to the places of the low places and preached the word of the Lord. How can they hear without a preacher? Hallelujah. See, California belongs to Jesus. Hallelujah. I was just in a meeting. I think Troy and Pastor Shannon were there. And this gentleman, God stirred his heart last fall to run for Congress. And it was unusual because his vocation is a missionary. And he said he was pacing his house, and it was like a holy irritation. Pastor preached that message like a righteous irritation. He said his wife convinced him, thank God for good wives, convinced him, said, you need to do this. You know, this is God. He said, one day he was praying and the Lord brought him back when he was a child. I'll say child, he was a teenager, maybe 16. And he was in Washington, D.C. with the call, and which is a big crusade thing right there on the mall. And one day he was prompted by God to get down on his knees. So he got down on his knees and he faced the Capitol and he said, God, raise up righteous leaders. God, raise up righteous leaders. And he's hitting the floor. So this past fall, he's in his house and the Lord brought him back to that place. And he says, you remember when you were praying that you were hitting the ground, raise up righteous leaders? I want you to be the answer to your own prayer. And this guy is awesome, man. He said, I'm not going to change one thing about myself when I get elected. I'm going to bring worship back into the houses of government. Hallelujah. And when he did that, the anointing. Pastor Shannon was sitting right back. I was like, it was like a wave of glory hit me. And I was like, I could barely stand. I had to pull myself together. He was talking about how Chronicles, how the glory of God and Kings, the priest couldn't even minister. Hallelujah. And he was like, I want to bring worship. I'm going to bring my guitar back into the places of government and worship God. I'm not going to change one single thing. Hallelujah. And I was like, wow, that's incredible. Habakkuk 2:14. Now, this is awesome. This is Pastor Rodney. He said, this is what the Lord told him. He said, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Church, we're upon the greatest move of God, the greatest revival right upon us, the greatest move of the Spirit. I love Whitfield and reading Edwards, even Finney. But the greatest move of the Spirit of God is right upon us. It's right upon us. Hallelujah. 2020, this is our year for the glory of the Lord. Hallelujah. To cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Hallelujah. People are getting it. God has raised us up, raised this church up for such a time as this. Is there not a cause? The cause is good enough for us to say yes. I believe 2020, we're going to see unprecedented things. Unprecedented things. You see the media and all this stuff that's going on. It's just the devil is scared. The devil is so scared. Because he didn't think that you were going to say yes, get full of the Holy Spirit, get the word in you, hallelujah, blessed be the Lord. And then say yes and then go get outside of yourself. Get outside of your, what you think is your limitations. Get outside of the thing that you actually want to change. God is saying that's the thing that actually I can use you with. I'm a weird person, and I know that. Don't laugh. You are too. Those things make you unique. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. He says, I know the plans that I have for you, saith the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a future and a desired end. Hallelujah. You were custom made for this day, in this hour. Hallelujah. There's no greater time to be alive. Hallelujah. This is the day. This is the hour. Hallelujah. Are you students? Just stick to the course. Stick to the course. No obstacle that you see is greater than that boldness, than that Holy Ghost, big Holy Ghost coming inside of you. Because nations are waiting. This country needs you. Glory to God. I see the hand of God shaking this country. I see New England under the power of God. Hallelujah. I see God visiting this country one last time. The devil thought he had us, but he discounted us. He discounted the church. He discounted that you would come here and get filled up with his fire, with his presence, with his anointing, with his grace to do what he's called us to do. Hallelujah. God's going to move one last time. I want everyone to bow your heads. Hallelujah. For me, I've gotten a lot of calls this week. As we know, a celebrity slipped into eternity. And people are thinking about, where would I go? Where am I going to spend eternity? See, before that boldness comes upon you and purpose and all of that, you must be born again. My dad called me on Sunday and he said, Jay, things really are not worth it to hold grudges, to have unforgiveness, to not love. I said, yeah, Dad, you're right. Maybe under the sound of my voice today, maybe you've had grudges in your heart. You've had pride, unforgiveness, the things of the world that choke the word of God, that choke the anointing in your life. I want to give you an opportunity today to make it right. I'm believing God for household salvations, for husband and wife to get it right. Father to children, mother to children. It's not worth it. Don't leave out today without prayer. Maybe you're here today and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Friend, I want to give you an opportunity to do that today. Maybe you're in this place and you were doing really good and life just rocked you. A sudden divorce, a bankruptcy, a betrayal of a close friend. Something happened that rocked your world. And you're saying, Pastor Jason, I don't even know how to get back. By the power of the Holy Ghost, you can come back today in Jesus' name. Then thirdly, you're in this place, you're saved, but the devil's always lying to you saying that you're not saved. This call is for you. If you are under any of those calls, slip up your hand with everybody's head bowed down. Slip it up right now in the name of Jesus. I see those hands. Hands are going up all over the auditorium. I see that hand. See those hands. In the name of Jesus, don't leave this place the same way you came today. In Jesus' name. Awesome. I see all those hands. If everyone could look at me. If you're in this section here, you didn't raise your hand, but you're saying, Pastor Jason, pray for me. I want to be included in that prayer that you're about to. I see that hand. Anyone else? I see that hand back there. Anyone else? I see that hand. Anyone else? Children too. In Jesus' name. I see that hand. If you're in this section and you're saying, Pastor Jason, pray for me. I didn't raise my hand on any of those calls, but I should have. Raise it up in Jesus' name. See those hands already there? Anyone else? Can I pray for you? See those hands back there. God bless you. God bless you. In the back there, you should have raised your hand, but you didn't. I see those hands. I see those hands. I see that hand. God bless you. In this section here, all the way back here, you didn't raise your hand, but you want to. I see those hands. I see those hands. I see those hands. I see those hands. People are getting it right today. In the name of Jesus. Anyone else? Can I pray for you? See that hand. See that hand. Don't wait another day. You see how delicate life is. Let's get it right today. Hallelujah. If you raise your hand, please stand up. I want the congregation to give them a good God bless you. Ushers, help me. If you raise your hand, stand up. Meet me down at the aisle. Come on, come on. Come on, bring your personal belongings. Come on down. Come on, don't sit down. Come on. Ushers, help me, please. To follow Jesus, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. Come on, congregation. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Seen that one more time, but in the congregation, look to your left and to your right and ask the person, if this was your last day on earth, do you know for sure that you'd go to heaven? If they have a slightest doubt, bring them down to the altar in Jesus' name. Let's sing that one more time. Give them a good God bless you. Come on, come on, come on. Hallelujah. If you're watching by way of television and you decided to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, if you mean business with God, God means business with you. It's an honor and a privilege to pray with you. People are still coming to the altar. Just pray this prayer with your heart and lips out loud. Hallelujah. I want to say to everyone, congratulations for coming to this altar. This is the beginning of the blessed life. Hallelujah. Making him the Lord and Savior of your life. I want everyone here, raise your right hand to heaven. That's where your help comes from. And repeat this prayer with your heart and lips out loud. Say, dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Wash me and cleanse me. Set me free. Jesus, thank you that you died for me. I believe that you're risen from the dead and that you're coming back again for me. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Give me a passion for the lost. A hunger for the things of God. And a holy boldness to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm saved. I'm born again. I'm forgiven. And I'm on my way to heaven. Because I have Jesus in my heart. Now look at me here. As a minister, the gospel of Jesus Christ, I tell you that all of your sins are forgiven you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
This program has been brought to you by the friends and partners of Revival Ministries International in Tampa, Florida. For more information on the ministry of Drs. Rodney and Adonica Howard Brown, or for additional resources, visit revival.com.